You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Coming to you live from Godland, a movie by James Mangold about a heaven across the river from New Jersey. It features Ray Liotta and an overweight Sylvester Stallone, Harvey Keitel, and like the T-1000, played by Robert Patrick. Anyways, this is Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast.
The show that comes to you from any number of places. Hello, everybody. I'm Travis.
Hello, everybody. I'm Brandon, and welcome to Interdimensional RSS. This is, of course, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. Not the official one. Someday, maybe. Nope. But I think Adult Swim appreciates us not getting paid for this gig, but still supporting them fervently. And we appreciate you letting us do that. Anyway, we're excited to talk about a new episode today. But before we do, we have a few bits of housekeeping, as they call it in the industry, that we need to knock out. So first of all, Travis, there's something called X, which is...
I don't believe it. I only go to Twitter. I don't go to Twitter. Listen, we're at Rick and Morty Pod on Twitter, and I'm announcing it now. This is the last season that we're using this. go follow us on Threads. We're on Threads. You can follow our Instagram, Rick and Morty Podcast. Follow our Threads over there. We're making the shift. Brandon doesn't know it yet. It's happening. The X account still exists. You can follow us there. Anyway, Facebook.com.
The buffer posts there automatically.
I can't fight that. Facebook.com/Rick and Morty Podcast. Email us. We love getting your emails at rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com. Blue Sky, rickandmortypod.bluesky.social. The place where everybody's hanging out.
Blue Sky.
Do we have a Blue Sky follow of the week?
Or hell yeah, we bit, got the Blue Sky.
This bit completely died, Brandon.
No, it hasn't died yet, because I tell you what, Morty the Quado has followed us on Blue Sky.
Open your mind.
That's what they wrote. And also we've got a few other folks. We've got Johnny Bishop. Johnny Bishop, which sounds like a porn name, suspiciously. And then a damn fast swimmer.
Some guy named John is just like, well, thanks, guys.
Hey, Johnny Bishop. Man, I tell you what, you sound like...
We got an episode for you, Mr. Bishop.
Anyways, that's the Blue Sky social media post of the week.
All right. We're on the subreddits. We're posting. We're upvoting over at rickandmorty.reddit.com or our subreddit, rickandmortypodcast.reddit.com. You can go to our website, rickandmortypod.com. You can see all of our good pod badges over there that Brandon posts. Anyway, if you want video, if you're a listener that likes the audio, but you want to see which one of us has glasses, you can go over to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Watch the videos over there. And then finally, a big thanks to all the patrons over patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm, supporting our show, getting those post shows that are for your eyes only. So thank you so much to the patrons. Brandon, how you doing? How you feeling? Are you ready? Are you loose?
Yeah, I'm doing good. You know, we're starting this a little bit later on a Monday night.
It's so late.
There was an inspection at my work and I had to stay later, and then we got to come home and give the kid a COVID test, and you know,
his nightly COVID test. His
nightly COVid test. He's not sick.
Gotta get one every night.
He just ran a marathon, but I'm like, hey, got to test for COVID. Maybe COVID gave you marathon abilities.
Possible.
And no, I'm doing good. I'm just really excited to, I'm excited and nervous, right? I'm excited and nervous to talk about one of the last episodes of the season and stuff coming up.
It's wild. It's wild that we're almost done with season 7. It feels like it's gone by so quickly. It's been a great season so far, and just to think that we're less than a week away from the finale now. It's wild. It's crazy.
Wild and crazy. Kids.
Wild and wild and the crazy shows. Anyway, let's move into our very first bit, a segment that we like to call Semi-Pertinent News.
Oh, I forgot that I don't do the ad break first, and then I didn't come up with a song until right now. Yeah, hey, welcome to Semi-Pertinent News, where we come up with pre-made professional music and introduce a new concept. First thing we want to talk about, we're going to just introduce this concept, and then we're going to actually going to follow up on it in our listeners' distortions and short outs segment. So last week we had the pleasure of talking about episode 8 of season 7, Rise of the Numericons, the movie. Travis and I, we had our opinions on this episode. We liked this episode, but let me tell you who didn't like the episode. A sincere vast number of people over on Reddit.
The majority of the viewing audience, it seems. At least the internet audience.
Yeah. It felt pretty crazy. And so we do want to talk about that, because this is probably like the first episode that Travis and I, you and I, have ever felt like we're like, are we out of touch? No, it is the children who are out of touch.
It was just so weird because we joked about it, because it was a rare situation where we recorded our episode of the podcast before the show even aired, before the episode aired. And as soon as the episode aired, we were just like, oh, nobody likes it. Yeah. Oh, no. So anyway, we'll break down everybody's thoughts and things like that in listener suggestions and short outs. But for now, we'll get to some other semi-pertinent news. And this really isn't news. It was just an article that when I was looking for Rick and Morty news, I thought was really funny. And this is an article from Cracked, cracked.com, the leader in internet news. And it's a headline that says, fans of both football and Rick and Morty declare George Kittle king of Froopyland. Now, if you're just a Rick and Morty fan and not a football fan, then maybe you don't know about the 49ers player, George Kittle, who has long blonde hair and a mustache and a beard. And looks an awful lot like the king of Froopyland from, I don't even remember what episode that was.
Yeah. Tommy Lipnip, king of Froopyland from the ABCs of Beth episode. Right.
I can see it. I can see the comparison. I'm gonna say it.
I can see it as well. Very, very apt observation. Very good to user Shrimpy Piblets, I think, over in the
Shrimply Pibbles.
Yeah, Shrimply Pibbles 4 over in the Rick and Morty subreddit. So shout out to Cracked for going over to the Rick and Morty subreddit for their daily dose of Rick and Morty news.
The best publications go to the Rick and Morty subreddit for their news.
That's right. And which brings me to an interesting little segue into the Rick and Morty subreddit post of the week, brought to you by Brandon Cruz, one of the moderators of subreddit. Real quick, one of the things we're trying to do in the subreddit is filter out a lot of the voice posts and the Numericons posts. And so I went into Automod and I figured out how to do Automod, which is very, very simple, actually. So I just want to shout that out. Automod. But the actual post of the week that I want to shout out is by user Burning Candle. And this is a common refrain. We've seen it before. I miss the stupid face they make. And it's that little droopy lip face. We've talked about it before on this podcast. I think actually in one of the most recent episodes, one of the other characters, not Rick and Morty, actually made that little droopy face. Mm-hmm. And so anyways, Burning Candle, 4,700 upvotes. Lots of karma. Congratulations to you. You are our Reddit post of the week. Shout out.
Boo. All right, couple of other quick housekeeping notes before we close out this segment. If you follow us on social media, if you follow us on Instagram, you may have seen some images of Brandon and I doing some interviews. We basically just posted photos of us interviewing most of the cast, as well as some of the producers for Rick and Morty. We are very excited to share some of that interview with you after next week's episode. So if you're trying to figure out where those interviews are, what's going on with that, we will be sharing that with you after the season finale, which brings me into my other bit of news. If you're a fan of the podcast and you are excited for the finale. You have an opportunity this week to hang out with us online in the internet space because Brandon and I are doing a live post-finale hangout. If you want to check that out, it is going to be on Sunday night at 11:30 Eastern, 10:30 Central, over on Twitch, twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. So if you are a follower over there, make sure that you're following. It works different on Twitch. You can get notifications for when we go live. It's not a subscription, but you can subscribe. We're not going to tell you no. But that's right. We will be doing our first and only live stream of the season this Sunday night. So make sure you check that out as well.
And I want everybody to know that it's a very special occasion, not only because it's a season finale, not only because it's the first time that we're going to stream this season, but because I was supposed to go to Tucson on a work trip. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to go on a work trip. I'm going to skip out on that. Sorry, Jeff. I'm going to hang out with Travis
Jeff
at very late at night, and we're going to record about Rick and Morty. So anyways, you should all feel very special for that. I know I do.
Sorry, Jeff.
Well, before we get into our next segment, our main segment of the show, there's one last little bit of housekeeping we've got to do. And it is, as we do every week, the Dan Harmon Social Media Minute.
It's the tweet of the week with Dan Harmon. It hasn't been called that for like 3 years.
Was it ever called that?
All right, everybody.
That's how long it's been.
It's probably been 3 years that we've been doing the segment. Anyway, Dan is branching out, right? Instagram was the platform, but Instagram has grown, and they've grown into a new platform called Threads.
That's right.
And he's exploring the space. He's trying it out. We're getting some vintage Dan-level tweet action.
Ooh-wee.
Out here at Dan Harmon on Threads, including this little bit that says, it's a real golden tweet here, looking for a comfortable waterproof shoe without laces. Please be aware that I do not expect this to top your current list of priorities. And there you have it, everybody.
Woo!
That's Dan Harmon's Social Media Minute.
All right.
92 replies, 211 likes. Get out there. Follow Dan on Threads for more fantastic content.
Exactly like that. Well,
do you have any waterproof shoes without laces, Brandon?
No. I may have. You know, one of those things, like going to like Raging Waters or water parks in general, is like, you know, you want to use water shoes, but at some point in time, well, early on in like your youth, you're like, no, these look stupid. I want to look cool.
Yeah.
I want to look cool when I'm walking. Like,
I want to look cool at the water park.
At the water park. And I don't have a tan or anything. And like, I get super sunburned and my erythropoietic protoporphyria kicks in like 2 hours into it. But anyway, and then I hang out at the arcade. Well, then you grow up and you're like, no, I don't care. I'm going to wear water shoes. And that's the point I'm at. So I do have some laceless water shoes.
Fantastic. Well, you can respond to Dan Harmon on Threads. All right. That's it for semi-pertinent news. If you find a semi-pertinent news story that you think we should cover, feel free to send it to us. But until then,
check out the after show where we talk about water shoes.
Check out the water shoe after show over on patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. All right. When we come back, we will be breaking down this entire episode. So stick around. We'll be right back. Brandon was dancing during that break. I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
Hey, everybody.
Thank you for listening.
This is Brandon.
One or any of those commercials. All right. It is now time for the moment you've all been waiting for.
Woo!
It is time for the main thing.
It's the main thing. Welcome to the main thing. It is... this we're talking about season 7, episode 9, Mort Ragnarok. Air date 12/10/2023. That's December 10th, 2023. Written by Jeremy Guilfoyle and Scott Martyr, showrunner of the show. Scott Martyr, not Jeremy Guilford, but hey, shout out to you, Jeremy. Good to have you on here. Directed by many-time director Kyung-hee Lim. Guest stars, a few folks. We got Troy Baker on there, a handful of other folks. Rosnitsky. I heard Schraub in there. Got a bunch of folks. Now, Travis, every episode we talk about the Bernopsis. Why don't you give us the official Bernopsis for this episode?
For this episode, heaven is for real, bruh. I saw it, bruh. I swear.
And our synopsis is as follows, Travis.
Rick learns the secrets of the afterlife and then drills them for unlimited power.
That's right. So this is an episode where we confirm the existence of the afterlife, which is...
We did it.
That's great.
Congrats, everybody.
This should be the series finale realistically, but yeah. I don't know where they're going to go from here. We talked about Rick Prime. We talked about Evil Morty. We talked about all these different, Tammy back in the day. But this feels like a real definitive conclusion for the arc of these characters. I want to explore that just a little bit going into this discussion. But first of all, let's talk about the title reference. Mort Ragnarok. I had a hard time finding out what this was referencing.
Yeah, I don't know that there were any recent or even classic films that this could have been based on. Uh-huh. Certainly nothing out of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
No. I went back to the silent era. I looked at some like Dracula, looked at the Mummy, all like the classic universal horror monster films, looking for a reference because we see them in this episode. And I'm like, fuck, man, I just don't know.
Call to action. If anybody knows what the reference is,
let us know.
Hit us up. A few themes from this episode. Obviously, the ideas of religion and the afterlife very present sort of throughout the entire episode. I think it was very interesting that they took the idea of like Viking and Norse mythology and ran with that, because it's not necessarily your typical sort of theologian type area to explore. And I know the show has spent time in the past, going through
theologian.
Sorry, I dropped a double point word on you.
Oh my God. I'm just not used to you using big words like that. It's throwing me off.
Sorry, guys.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So they talk about God stuff in this one.
You're just like Bigfoot to me. All right.
That tracks, actually. Thanks. But yeah, I don't know. What were your thoughts on the pairing of a couple of different, religious ideas with, Rick's standpoint, which is always very scientific and very agnostic or atheist, and sort of using those environments to still tell a story about Rick trying to use it for his own, personal gain.
Yeah, the thing about the Thor Ragnarok and Thor and the Marvel movies is this idea, and I won't stick to the Marvel movies for too long in this thing, but in those movies, there's this thought that everything looks like magic, but science, right? Like everything is scientific when it really comes down to it. And so I liked the way that they, even though the intro of the episode is like, I'm confused, I don't know how you came to this conclusion, but I'll just roll with it. I appreciated that there was like, yeah, there's an afterlife in some way, shape, or form, based off of your region and where you are and all this type of stuff. Yeah. So I was cool with that. The thing about the Norse mythology, I mean, they didn't really dig too deep into like Ragnarok or anything like that. They just stuck with that there's a generic afterlife for the Vikings.
Valhalla. This place where they'll just fight and celebrate for eternity.
What of note is that there's no existence of gods in the afterlife for either of the characters in this, right? Like, yes, Jerry sees his grandmother and is assumed to have spoken to his grandfather at some point in time, annoyingly so.
One of the 8 deaths previous, I think.
Yeah. The Pope is in this episode. We don't see his afterlife, right? We don't see a god on his side. In the Norse, we don't see actual Odin. We don't see actual Thor. We don't see him. We see a Spider-Man, and we see Rick as Odin. You know, so I'm interested in kind of exploring that just a little bit of that there is an afterlife, but there is a god necessarily still.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I think the show, every time that they've dealt with some form of like religious topic, or they try to talk about gods or things like that, the writers seem to be very interested in taking like aspects of different theologies or things like that, and then using those to build characters or build scenarios that drive the story of what they're not overly concerned with, like getting into the details or making sure they get all that stuff right, because frankly, like, the audience isn't interested in that. They just want a good Rick and Morty story. And so I think they could have, and maybe they did in the writer's room, spend a lot of time trying to navigate, like, all right, well, we're going to what, Norway, right? We're gonna deal with this culture in that sort of a Valhalla. Do we deal with, you know, Thor, Loki, those, you know, Odin? You know, they're referenced, but they're never shown. And I think probably omitting them allows them to tell more of the focus story that they want to tell without bringing any other sort of overpowered beings aside from Bigfoot and the classic movie monsters into the fold. Right. And so, I think it's interesting in this episode, the way they kind of show the differences, or definitely portray the differences between sort of the Norse religion and traditional Catholic religion.
80s fog machine.
Well, yeah, and just the Pope is kind of portrayed as this like old school, like movie, like crime boss type guy, right? He just seems very like Italian, like I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. He's very stereotypical in this episode.
Well, I know you come at it that way, Travis, because you're not a Catholic like I am. And so, you know, you have a little bit of disrespect for him. And I'm okay with that. You know, we've gotten past our tiffs.
He's too popey for me.
He's too popey for me. You're right. And what I think is interesting is, you know, they make jokes about, you know, Odin and Uncle Ben, and we see a version of the afterlife, and the Pope in this episode, he never talks about his, like, his savior or his salvation or his afterlife. He steals from the power that Rick has found in Valhalla. Right. And I don't know what that's, I don't know what that says. I don't know what commentary that is necessarily. But I will say that I was baptized Catholic and I'm an atheist. So that's all I'm saying.
And that is where we're leaving that. So obviously lots of religious mentions in here. Also, I mean, a theme that we didn't even really put in here is the whole Bigfoot arc, and just like sort of mythical, not mythical creatures, but just like sort of creatures that live within that gray area between reality and, you know, like all the movie monsters, all those sorts of things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That they're not really, they don't really come up until the end, but the way that Bigfoot is used throughout this episode, in different ways, I think. You could call this the Bigfoot episode as well.
You could.
And people would know what you're talking about. The last theme, and this is more of a, I don't know if it's a theme as much as it is just a I don't know, like a I can't think of like a plot device or whatever, is this like sort of live, die, repeat.
Oh, Groundhog mechanism. Day.
Yeah. Where
they're just Happy Death Day.
They're getting into that repeated confrontation with the Pope towards the end there, and having to solve this really complicated problem where you have a group of characters who essentially can't die because they've built a mechanism for themselves where every time they die, they're able to reincarnate through the Phoenix Project and, and, you know, and come back as clones. And then you have opposing them someone who has unlimited power that unfortunately they created. So you have these two sort of unstoppable forces that just create that futile repeating battle over and over again that, you know, like it makes me think about the first Doctor Strange movie where Dormammu, I come to bargain, right? And he's just doing that over and over again. So those types of ideas playing out and really forcing Rick to solve a problem, maybe not in a way that he conventionally would using gadgets or things like that, but having to actually humble himself and destroy his creation in order to win out.
I think it's interesting that you bring up this Doctor Strange piece, because Dan Harmon at least kind of advised on that ending for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's an interesting bit. The Groundhog Day, Happy Death Day to you, that type of stuff. It's always pretty interesting to me, that mechanic. And it always ends up being like, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. Let me just go ahead and just lean into the things that I'm doing. And let me learn a lesson. I need to learn a lesson about myself and about my selfishness before I can move on to the next phase. And that's what happens here is Rick is like, I was stealing energy from the afterlife. I realize that's what is screwing everything up. So let me go ahead and learn my lesson and stop that. So yeah, I don't know how much there is to talk about that. I guess you could also kind of refer to it as this like kind of karmic approach to life, the reincarnation bit, right? Like,
sure,
you're always going into your next life trying to do better than you did before. Now, the only argument I'd make for this episode is that they go from like robot samurai suits to covered in pillows, and it doesn't work. So maybe they took a step back.
I love that order of solutions. It just that kills me. That's good stuff.
But
all right. Well, yeah. I don't know. Is there anything else about this episode overall that sort of you want to talk about, or should we kind of get into some of our favorite bits and explore that the episode through those?
Let's go ahead and get into our favorite bits, because although there are a lot of good moments in this episode, you know, I not that I was hard pressed to find themes, but I didn't, this one didn't speak to me as much about like there being a deeper lesson or anything like that. It was a good episode.
Yeah, I felt like it was pretty on the nose in terms of like, we're going to do an episode that talks about like religion, the afterlife, and Bigfoot. And those are going to be our themes,
right,
for this episode.
Yep.
So first up, and you talked about it, but Jerry's grandma getting annoyed.
Favorite bits.
Jerry dying. Upon rewatches, and it's such a short moment. It's like the only time we see Jerry in the episode. but him just like being manipulated and murdered, you know, 8 times, just cracks me up. Sorry. It's funny.
Yeah. And when she first shows up, she's like, oh, Jerry. But then she immediately turns like, this is getting annoying.
Yeah. Your grandpa's getting tired of it.
The Rick's, speaking of that, Rick's overly scientific description of kind of a heaven, like not fully admitting that it's a heaven, but also being like going into the, also because I'm an atheist, I can't really get into it. So yeah, like there's a problem.
You talked about it being like really hard to follow. It was on like my third watch of this episode, this time with captions on, when I was actually able to like follow what he was saying. Cause right. It's like, yeah, no, they really spun a yarn here on like consciousness, permanence, and, you know, collective. I don't know. It was,
yeah, good. It was like a Star Trek thing where just like spout a bunch of things. And then at the very start, don't give us any time to think about it or flesh it out or give it a chance for scrutiny. Let's just move on to the next bit of the.
Yep.
We're going to Norway.
I like when they get to Norway and, you know, Rick's super excited about tapping into unlimited energy. And he accuses Morty of never being in energy debt, to which Morty responds, F you, I've been tired. I mean, I guess I never really thought about being tired that way, but yeah. Yeah, it's basically energy debt.
Yeah, it is basically it. Now, as Pocket Morty fans, we haven't played it in a while, but I'd say we're Pocket Morty fans. The whole Pokeball, Bigfoot in a Pokeball, I love that little bit. That Rick is being such an asshole that he's keeping Bigfoot in a Pokeball. That's great.
Yeah, he's like shaking him around and stuff, like messing with the Pokeball. yeah, I thought it was good. Once he's explaining his whole plan to Morty, he says that Bigfoot is a B story, which I thought was interesting, right? Because Morty's asking all these questions about Bigfoot. And then we find out through the course of this episode, Bigfoot actually is the B story for a portion of this episode. One of the only episodes to have like an A and B plot where you have Rick and Morty in Valhalla while Bigfoot is, you know, moving up the ranks of the Catholic Church. Yeah, he calls it out specifically, but Bigfoot is the B story in this episode.
That's right. That's right. The whole thing with Rick going to Valhalla fighting a worthy foe in Bigfoot, how fast Bigfoot kills Rick, Rick saying I'm dead, Rick, after the fact, like I love that just Bigfoot just beating the shit out of him, like bashing his head down.
All of the fights that Rick has had, right, with like insane opponents, like a few episodes ago with the fight with Rick Prime, and then for Bigfoot to just like punch him in the face and then immediately just start crushing his skull. It's super violent, but it's so funny because of how unexpected it is in the moment.
so yeah, he dies, he goes to Valhalla. One of the two recurring gags I liked, it recurred once, was Rick goes to heaven and then he gets killed right away in the battle. And just how quickly he's just like, I'm dead. And then later when Morty dies and then he immediately gets killed by those warring Vikings as well.
Yeah. And the visual gag with both of them where they're just like crunched up on the ground with like a bunch of like arrows and like swords and stuff sticking out of them. Yeah. Yeah. It makes me chuckle. I don't know why. Something's wrong with
it. It does. It's a silly little gag, but a silly little gag that we love. Rick distracts the armorer. What's this?
Oh, yeah. So he's when he's looking for supplies, he's trying to get his armor and he's like complimenting the armorer and he's trying to distract him, right? And so he's right by that hammer, and to distract him he goes, oh hey, is that a thing Vikings love? And it makes him turn around and look the other way before he knocks him out. I don't know, it's just I love Rick's low effort, you know, plans where he's just like, I gotta go take a shit, Like, that's like, you know, his ability to improvise is still left somewhere back in the season three premiere.
I do like the small comment that he says, hey, if you guys get knocked out in Valhalla, do you do you just get knocked out or are you reincarnated or you're like, we just get knocked out. Like, okay, thanks. and uses Thor's hammer.
Going back to Morty in this moment, Morty getting tricked by Bigfoot, the entire sequence with Bigfoot, like playing with Rick's, you know, severed head and then like emotionally cradling it, yeah, starting to bury it. And then he's like praying it by the grave. And Morty's like, Bigfoot, do you have religion? And that whole ploy just to get Morty to open the door and then him immediately kill Morty right after.
we talked about it in our discussion, but the whole bit with I'm Odin, Thor's father, Spider-Man's uncle. Yeah, it's so confusing. Like, other than being, you know, Thor Ragnarok and being a Marvel, like why he would include Uncle Ben in his mythology of Odin. And like, is it just because he doesn't care that much, or he's just like, yeah, I just want to reference Spider-Man?
There's like a history of Rick intentionally messing up Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff. Like, in the season six premiere where he's talking and Morty calls him out for like acting like he doesn't know who Iron Man is. So like, I don't know, I think there's this thing like maybe Rick is like a closet MCU super fan, but he doesn't want to let on. So he casually mixes up superheroes.
That's what
so
the canon is.
Nobody's wiser about him being a huge Feige fan.
Like once a month, he just reads into all the Marvel stuff. He's just like, he watches all the Marvel movies over and over again, just once a month.
He doesn't want anybody to know. It's a secret.
Along those lines, the Rick and Morty God suits, the winged God suits. Skipping ahead in the notes here a little bit, but it's applicable with the Spider-Man's uncle thing. He's like, see, I told you I'm Odin and this is Spider-Man.
Yeah. And then he like refers to Morty as Spider-Man and tells him to go laser inscribe the commandments on the side of the crater. One other character in this episode that we haven't really mentioned yet is the clone Rick. That has to use its survival protocol. And immediately after the case is smashed, we get a version of Rick that's just like, and like crawling around frantically, running all over the city. A very different type of Rick that was jarring to see immediately, but was a pretty funny bit throughout the episode.
it is a very funny bit. Maybe not the bit that I laughed the hardest about. Maybe not the bit that I would have laughed the hardest throughout the entire series, but it's still a good bit. I did laugh a fair amount. It was funny. The Pope is a crime boss. Yeah, it's we wrote it down, but we'll skip that. Yeah. here's a gag I liked, and it's a low key gag. I posted it in the live discussion thread. The Morty against waves of Vikings. I love tower defense games. You know, I love Bloons.
Oh, I know you do.
I love Bloons TD. I love StarCraft, original StarCraft. I played tower defense. Warcraft 3. I played some tower defense. I love me some tower defense games. And I just love, they never call it out, and they never call it out as a tower defense, but that's clearly what they're doing. Waves of enemies, defending things. There was like a specific line that it was very like, like on the nose with tower defense. But anyways, I love it.
Well, I think they literally refer it to like another wave. Yeah. Like they talk about the waves, right? But it cracks me up all of the different types of weapons that they developed using the limited technology that they have, but they're still creating like heat-seeking missiles, Gatling guns, an army of flying drones that take them out. So just all these crazy inventions that have these like really old classic looks to them. I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, there was another note that Morty said was like they keep coming with more every time.
yeah.
Another reference to that.
And landmines.
Of course. A callback to an earlier episode, trading a Predator 3 muskets for Bigfoot's comm device. That really is.
I guess they do use it as currency.
love that subtle callback. You gotta love those things.
Yeah, it's good. There are a couple of callbacks in this. One of them I will save for my favorite or best and worst parts of the episode, because we talked about it earlier in the season as well.
Okay.
I liked Bigfoot when he got his upgrade to his comms device, doing movie trailer reads in a world where time is money.
And then they referenced, what is it, the Justin Timberlake movie?
I think that's what it, I think that's the movie that they're, but they like, I don't think they ever like actually.
No. Because Rick is like, you do this bit at the Vatican.
Yeah.
Nick of Time maybe with Justin Timberlake. Anyway.
We'll look it up in the post show. I loved Bigfoot in Summer's body. When there wasn't an available clone for Bigfoot, so he has to regenerate in Summer's body. I thought that was funny. And like Bigfoot Summer walking through the Vatican.
Yeah.
Killing
and Summer
guards.
Has her teeth like her lower bite is jutting out. And
yeah,
I dug that.
How you can
detail.
Tell it's Bigfoot, not normal Summer.
Yeah. We talked about all the deaths against the Pope, the escalating types of deaths. With Morty saying, can we just portal next to him instead of fighting through all those guards?
Pope! Every time he walks into the hallway. You had the samurai suits. You had the pillow suit. What else did they have? They had
a shield. They had like mirrors. They used mirrors at one point in time.
Yeah. Anything they could come up with. They had all sorts of ideas. That sequence is great.
Here's one thing I really like, Travis, which is, you know, I like horror movies. I don't know if I've ever told you, but
you?
I like some horror movies, and I love some classic horror movies. Abbott Costello meet Frankenstein, meet the Wolfman. You got Dracula, you got Creature from the Black Lagoon. All of these wonderful, wonderful characters. Guess what? They're all here. The Universal Monsters. Randomly, Bigfoot comes and grabs them to have in this episode, and then Rick betrays them.
The premise is like they're all being kept by the Pope as well. Yeah. like he just has them all under lock and key.
Yeah. You know, as I just want to say, Van Helsing is a guilty pleasure of mine. It's not a great movie, but like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, it's not a good movie, but I enjoy watching it. And
this is fine.
You know,
this is fine.
Just want to throw that out there.
As the power, the unlimited power begins to fade, and we know that somewhere off screen, all of those movie monsters have died against the Vikings. Rick's response is, pour one out for the Wolfman. that line cracks me up. Yeah.
By the way, Wolfman is one of the most sympathetic monsters of that whole series, right? Because he's just a guy who's been infected by lycanthropy. The last bit, I think, in our favorite bits is Bigfoot's forced goodbye, which we've seen this gag in so many different forms of media, right? As somebody astutely points out in the subreddit, when Rick and Morty are throwing cans at Bigfoot, they're like, get out of here. And he's in his human body. He's like, get out of here. Go on. Go to your home.
I was thinking I could get a job.
Just go. And they're crying. Harry and the Hendersons is a classic movie starring John Lithgow and Bigfoot. Anyways, watch it if you haven't. And if you haven't, then, you know, that's just, it's part of one of hundreds of movies that you should check out.
that have also probably used that bit. Yeah. Some of the favorite bits, some of the favorite lines from this episode, my best ofs, if you will. One is Rick saying that he wishes they had time to unpack how all of Frankenstein's parts made it there. It's I love that they call it out, right? Because some fan of this show, if Frankenstein ended up in Valhalla, they'd be like, that doesn't make sense of Frankenstein. He's just a bunch of different parts. Like, he would have just been a regular dude. So it's like almost like a safety line that they throw in to be like, we know it's just a show, guys. It's fine.
Yeah. Let's not talk about that. Let's not unpack it right now. Speaking of that, it seemed like a call out to, the Pope, some people in the live discussion were like, the Pope's going to die in this episode. Rick's going to kill the Pope in this episode. And admittedly, when I was watching, I was like, oh, I hope they don't kill the Pope. I hope that's not a thing that they do. Not because I care about the Pope dying in animated media, but I just figured like, this is probably not a good look right now. And thankfully he doesn't die. Instead, he gets trapped in a Pokeball. And I love that Rick then says, like, I'll say it before anybody else does, Pokeball. All right. You can't have it. We thought about it already. We know the joke. The writers know the joke. Don't say it before we do. Yeah. We're just going to point it out.
And then Morty being like, well, I was going to say it. Like, I was going to say it.
But yeah, Pokeball
is good. I thought that was great. Finally, and the thing that I was alluding to earlier, back in the episode Air Force Wong, we get a callback where Flea Flack, a random little alien that was part of the president's, you know, ragtag crew that he was going to use, he can maybe predict the future. And in that episode, we see Flea Flack's drawing of Bigfoot killing Rick that he sort of dismissively hangs up on that refrigerator looking character. And then wouldn't you know it, a short six episodes later or whatever it is, here we are in an episode where Rick is killed by Bigfoot. So I like those, you know, two internal to season seven callbacks, the one with Predator and then this one as well, sort of hinting and playing with those timelines and sneaking things in for the fans that, you know, really pay the extra amount of attention.
Yeah. I really enjoy those small details that shows that it's a cohesive season, in that they're not all standalone. They are writing it straight through. They're not just doing callbacks to previous seasons. They're doing callbacks to the same season. So I like that. I like that as a little sign there. Okay. I don't have any major issues like of worst parts for the episode. So, you know, I enjoyed it. I think you enjoyed it overall, Travis. I think that some people enjoyed this way more than they enjoyed Numericons. So we want to talk about that here in listener distortions and short outs in a minute. But before we do that, we just want to say, if you have thoughts about this episode that you want to get over to Travis and I, use those social media links that we mentioned at the start of the episode. Shoot us some notes, shoot us some emails, and we'd love to talk to you about them here on our next segment, Listener Distortions and Shortouts.
Okay, we don't do music for this.
We don't.
All right. We talked about Numericons. We talked about them last week, and we liked the episode. We did get confused about one character's name during the episode, which you immediately realized probably 20 minutes after we stopped recording. And that was the character, the Dreadnought, the evil leader of the Numericons. And thankfully, a listener, Michael Ross, sent us an email this week setting us straight. He says, hey there, Ought, or Ought, spelt O-U-G-H-T, are other names for zero, like referring to the 2000s as the aughts. So I'm guessing the dreadnought was an Ought joke. Speaking of zero, my headcanon slash fanfic version of the episode had some changes. The zero was evil because it was secretly an O. And it was hard being raised binary. he says that his biggest issue with the season is not having A and B plots. Love the podcast. Happy holidays. Best, Michael. Michael, thank you. Thank you for your email. Thank you for your insights, your ideas. And yeah, I miss A and B plots as well. I do. I want more sort of innocent Smith family hijinks. Yeah. You know, like I want to see them do something random on their own.
Yeah, I agree. I don't mind the absence of B plots. Honestly, because here's what I'll say about B plots. Is they are a distraction sometimes, and I won't say a crutch, because that diminishes the importance of a good B plot when the B plots and A plots match again and they come together, and then it's like, oh, okay, all right, thematically A and B plots work together to create a whole story. It's when those B plots are like, we need to fill some time, when it feels like it's filling time and it's not feeling like it serves an actual purpose.
If there's imbalance, right?
Yeah.
If the A story is just rich and really interesting and the B plot is lacking and they don't have any sort of tie-in with themes or things like that, 100% agree with you. But I think about some of the B plots that we've had, especially in early seasons, like, you think about Meeseeks and Destroy, like, either that's a B plot, or like the Meeseeks with the Smith family using the Meeseeks, or then like Morty's adventure is the B plot. And like both of those things are like huge.
Yeah.
I think about other episodes like Interdimensional Cable, with the family going off in the other room and living their lives vicariously through other dimensions. So many interesting concepts from the show coming out of some of those early B plots.
I'll throw this about Interdimensional Cable, is the B plot is really the Interdimensional Cable stuff in that episode. Sure. You know, like the A plot is the family realizing that, you know, their life is not that interesting based off of different realities. But anyway, thanks for writing, Michael. We do appreciate you. And yes, basically like 5 minutes after the episode aired, I was like, oh, Travis. Yeah, no, Ought. Zero. Ought. Yes. Okay. Duh. So yeah.
Anyway, speaking of dreadnoughts and dreadful episodes, the internet had a lot to say after the Numericons episode. it was funny for us because we recorded the podcast only a few hours before the episode aired. And, you know, that conversation back and forth, just like, I really don't think people like it. And I was like, oh, maybe it's just early. Maybe people will, you know, appreciate it more. And then hours went by and days went by. And just the commentary, the comments, the subreddit, the fan ratings on things like IMDb or like Rotten Tomatoes, things like that. Yeah, a lot of people really did not enjoy that episode. No. And to me, it's still kind of shocking because that fan reaction did not change my opinion of the episode. I still really like it.
No, and we, being in the subreddit, seeing a lot of those conversations, I was shocked with the live episode discussion. Just as we knew watching it that it was going to be interesting to see what people thought of it, right? Because it was telling a different story, and it wasn't focused on Rick at all. It wasn't focused on Morty really at all. And like, okay, we'll see how it goes. I we always talk about the mid-90s, the Terrence and Phillip episode of South Park, and how that was like April Fool's and people are pissed off about it. Well, now this was like, it still included Morty in it, at least, and it still included sure. characters that like we were following from the show, that we knew about from the show. And it was still kind of tied to Rick and Morty universe. So like, I guess I'm like, I try to put myself in the shoes of somebody who's like, I feel like I've been betrayed. This isn't a Rick and Morty episode. You're doing something completely different. But from a writing standpoint, from an animation standpoint, like, talk about punny humor. Let's talk about the writing first. Punny humor.
Yeah.
Look, puns, people give shit to punny humor, but people who are good at punny humor are really good at punny humor. And it's not that easy all the time. Right.
Sure.
Like it involves some work. And when it's specifically about letters and numbers, like there has to be some thought to be like, let's intentionally put in Helvetica drive into a thing. So from a writing standpoint, I thought it was good. We also had people point out that it is like a tie-in to like 80s, like the Transformers movie, the GoBots movie back in the day, that it's like a cutout to that.
And even just sort of like 80s, early 90s, kind of like Saturday morning cartoon, action cartoon type, you know, battles with, you know, big fights and explosions, and just like that entire era of, you know, action sci-fi is really portrayed in this episode for sure.
Yeah. But I wonder if there's any kind of, you know, talking about generational divide, I don't know if there's anything like that necessarily for here, because I've never, we joked about it at the start, I've never felt so out of touch with the general fandom of Rick and Morty as this episode. Cause I'm like, I've seen the sperm episode, I've seen incest episode, like there. And I think even like the writers and creators behind the show can say that objectively there are worse episodes of this show. And to see so many comments being like, that's pathetic. This episode was pathetic. This is the worst episode of the series. I could see season. Okay, I'll give you that. The series? Have you watched the entire series? Because there are worse yeah. episodes than this, right? So I feel kind of out of touch. And you know, like it could be a reactionary thing too, from folks like not being happy with it. But and maybe not giving it a second chance. Because I'll admit that the first time I watched it, I was like, well, that was funny. I laughed. But then I watched it again, caught more of the references, more of the punny humor, and in just the background designs, things that we talked about on the episode. I'm like, no, this is a solid episode, and I can see why they wanted to talk about it at the Comic-Con. So anyway,
yeah. I think the one last thing with this episode that I saw a lot of people critiquing is that absence of Rick. And I think it was really interesting to me how much of the fandom seems to really gravitate around Rick himself, even though the show is Rick and Morty, right? And we've had numerous episodes that have almost strictly revolved around Rick with little to no Morty in the episode. Typically, I'm not seeing a lot of, oh, where was Morty? This episode was ruined because there was no Morty. I think they took a risk with this episode and said, we're gonna have Morty in it. It's gonna kind of ground the episode for us. It grounds it in the reality. It's not like it's just a 22-minute interdimensional cable, you know, spoof. They didn't do Ball Fondlers, the movie. They didn't do, you know, Two Brothers, the movie. They took characters that existed within the canon, existed or were a callback to a previous episode, and used them to tell this big story. Yeah, it didn't have Rick in it, but it still had one of the main characters of the show throughout the story. And so,
yeah,
I just kind of found that interesting that they were like, no, Rick, I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that observation because I have seen it earlier in this season that Morty wasn't featured as much. Right. But it wasn't, it didn't start that way. It was after a couple episodes, people are like, wait a minute. There's not a whole lot of Morty. Where's Morty? We should have more Morty. Right. But we have one episode where Rick's not in it at all. I'm like, well, the show's jumped the shark. It's the worst show in the world now because Rick, his name is in the title and he's not there at all. Wow. Wow. That sucks.
1 week later, 10 out of 10. Best episode.
10 out of 10. Now there's a lot of Rick. Yeah. So it's, I have more thoughts on it, but I haven't really. They're just all disparate.
I think this is why the creators don't always read the comments. And I think that's fine. As has always been the case, we value everyone that works on this show, but we also value all of the fans and all of their opinions. And we want to be, you know, fair and equitable in this space to, you know, kind of share everybody's thoughts so long as they're not, you know, mean. Too mean anyway to anyone or anything.
If they're mean, I'm gonna remove your post on the subreddit.
Yeah. I don't mind. All right. That's gonna about do it for this week. Lots of things to look forward to. Obviously, a season finale next week. We will have a normal podcast to capture all of our thoughts about the end of the season and this finale episode. But also don't forget Sunday night, immediately after the East Coast airing of Rick and Morty. Sorry, West Coast friends.
Sorry.
You know, find a way to watch it live. we are going to be going live on our Twitch, twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. Join us out there. We will be breaking down the finale and discussing with you your thoughts on the episode and the season. So join us there. And until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. Thank you so much for listening. Appreciate you.
Bye.
And